Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. McCarthy met with the president on Wednesday to talk about the debt ceiling.
74% of Americans believe there has to be some savings in what we're spending. We're at 120% of GDP, meaning our debt is larger than our economy.
Biden has called on Congress to increase the limit without conditions, warning a potential default. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he won't pass on the increase in the debt ceiling without spending reforms. Arizona has been expected to look at state budget bills next week. Republicans say the spending plan is similar to what passed last year with bipartisan support, but Democrats argue it's much smaller and missing funding from previous budget. Maine Library in Yuma has been announcing its new media studio room. The studio offers equipment needed to help produce a demo or help launch a podcast. The space has computers, software, and space for production and editing. Lawmakers in Arizona have been wanting to help expecting moms move around the city a little easier. The bill gives pregnant women the green light to use the HOV lane during busy drive times. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
We made it to the weekend. You're making some plans to get things done, and the weather's not going to be a problem at all. We are dry. The temperature's mild through the weekend. Lots of clouds today, but it is a little bit warmer, 72 this afternoon. And temperatures tonight, mid-40s. Tomorrow, the sun is back. We've got a light northerly wind. It's warmer, 76 tomorrow. Sunday's a mild day as well, 75, and Monday only slightly cooler, near 70. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Agerberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here in studio. Russ Clark, good morning, Russ.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
You know, can't complain. It's a beautiful morning out there. It was brisk this morning, but it should be decent this afternoon. So no complaints.
Yeah.
And so you have family in town. You're going to go on a bike ride, I hear.
I got a cousin in town. That's why my bike's not here. It's on the chargers. Both of them are on charge. I'll make sure they're all topped off.
I thought maybe you're just lazy or running
late
this morning.
No, I mean, I am lazy, but I'd ride the bike lazy.
There you go. There you go. Well, some good news, and I think I actually even heard you talking about it this last hour. Non-lazy. So what was the jobs number that just came out?
3.4%, I think, was unemployment. I got that from a listener. I didn't verify that.
So the original estimate was going to be in the approximately 187,000 jobs, and they are now saying, now again, this is the initial numbers, not the revised numbers, because they always seem to revise it later in the game, but they're saying 517,000 new jobs. So if I do my math correctly, that's three times the amount of jobs that were expected.
Yeah.
Now, what I love about the stat, it's a good stat that we can talk about. What I hate about the stat is it doesn't say what the average income of that job is. Is it a half a million, say, food service jobs that might be minimum wage or part-time? You know, we don't know what those jobs are, but there's more people going back into the workforce, which is great. Now, over the last 4 weeks, have you seen mortgage rates rising or falling?
I don't know. I think, they've been coming down, I heard, but I really haven't followed it.
They've been coming down over the last 4 weeks. Now, amazing job numbers do what for the stock market? Amazing job numbers, just like this.
Because people are looking for numbers and everything. But the profit numbers have not been there.
No,
earnings have not been
right,
there.
Right, profit numbers are not there, but here's the emotionalness. Great job numbers are going to push the stock market higher.
Potentially.
And what then happens to bonds?
They do
the opposite. So when the stock market's doing really well, the bond market does really poorly. When the stock market does poorly, the bond market generally does pretty well. So good employment numbers means good stock market today means mortgage rates are probably going to suffer today. So just watch this teeter-totter back and forth. But what's so I want to say emotionally funny for me is you see people come in and they're waiting for that last eighth of an interest rate before they make a decision. Russ, when you walk down the street, if you see a penny on the ground, do you pick it up?
Generally, I would actually.
You know, I do too. You know,
but that's kind of silly.
But well, no, yeah. It's still money that's sitting there, and you see people that are passing by a house because they're waiting for something to get slightly better, yeah. One way or the other, and you stop and think about it. What are you waiting for? Because do you believe prices are going up or down?
Oh gosh, they're going up.
Okay, and
there's no question. Everybody knows that.
So one of the things that I would love everybody, don't take my word for any of this stuff. Go Google search it and look at it on your own. But housing starts. Housing starts have been down year over year. Permits pulled for the housing starts are down year over year. So if housing building nationwide is not at the pace it used to be, And the population is increasing both through just natural birth, home ownership, expansion, et cetera, we're going to have a supply problem. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
Okay. So when you start to see that, wait a minute, there's potentially not enough homes being built and the interest rates have come down slightly, okay, you know what? It's probably time you quit waiting for that last few pennies to pick up. Just jump in, get the house. Because what is the most important asset for most Americans?
Well, you mean their asset? They own the house.
Yeah, their house.
Yeah.
Largest
by far.
Most Americans, that is the stability that they need. And instead of paying rent, which is basically 100% interest, you know, instead of paying somebody else's mortgage, pay yours. And if I can, do you ever hear people talk about, man, I wish I was an affluent investor that I could buy stock on the margin and I could do all this other stuff? I do. I hear people talk about that all the time.
Well, yeah, they think that's an easy job.
So when you go buy stock, you're paying 100% for that stock unless you're an affluent investor and you can buy things on the margin and start leveraging.
More
right?
Gambly, yeah.
But
yeah.
When you buy a house, if you are, let's say, a normal conventional borrower and you put 5% down, doesn't that mean you leverage the other 95%?
Of course.
Cool. So now you're going to leverage that money and you're going to pay it over time, which generally the asset goes up in value. We've had some dips. Don't get me wrong. There's been a couple times in our life cycle that you've seen house prices come down. But as of today, the four cycles that you've seen in your lifetime, are prices higher or lower than they've ever been in your life cycle?
Oh, higher.
Okay. So they come down, they go back up. And at that point, the leverage that you put in, let's say you bought, and I know it's easy math for you, Russ, because I know I need to keep it easy. For everybody who's listening, he does have his shoes on, so he can't count just yet. If you bought a $100,000 home and you put 5% down, okay, and the home went up, let's say, $5,000 in value over a couple years period.
Yeah.
$5,000 down and a $5,000 appreciation, doesn't that mean you made 100% on your money?
Well,
on your leveraged money.
If you sold it. But yeah, that's what its net value is. I mean, if you're doing paper value, that is correct.
Right. And it's so funny that you see people talking about, oh, I missed this opportunity for Bitcoin or Tesla and these percentage increases.
They don't talk about that in real estate.
But they don't talk about it in real estate. They don't say, you know what, I put 10% down on my home and it went up 10% in value over the last 5 or 6 years. Well, 10% value in the house, but 10% down is not a 10% rate of return.
No.
It could be 100% rate of return, depending on what numbers you're really talking about. And that's where you see most Americans can get ahead over a long period of time. And real estate is a get wealthy, long, slow, affluent kind of pace. It's not a get rich quick scheme, but for most people, and I'm going to go back to your family in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do really well with real estate?
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, because they wanted to pay it off. They wanted to take care of it. They wanted to hold on to it, and they live there. They raise kids there, and then when my dad passed, we sold the house for $460,000. You know, $400,000 more than they paid for it.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly my point. Is they did well. and they built a safety net because they had it paid off for decades, did they not?
Oh, God, yeah. They paid it off in the 90s sometime.
Okay, so they bought a home, they lived in it, they paid it off, and now they only really have to pay the taxes and the insurance, the carrying costs. Yeah. So, you know, clearly we're never going to have a home free and clear because you have to insure it and you have to pay the government. So
there's always going to be an expense associated with that house.
There always will be.
Yeah.
But they did super well because they lived within their means and they paid it off and then they never had to worry about that thing again. And now you look back and I think we've stopped teaching some of the new home buyers those criteria of being an affluent home buyer. We stopped saying, hey, you know, one of the things you want to do is find a home, get into it, and live in it for a long period of time, or move up to the next one, keep that home and turn it into a rental and have a couple homes over your lifetime. And it's a simple tactic that can get you farther ahead. And most people are so emotionally driven that they don't look at how simple that is. Now, I had a customer this morning, and actually one of the reasons I didn't get here early is they wanted to meet at 6:30.
How dare they?
I know. Well, you know what? I don't mind doing that. Coffee's on anyway. But they are super scared to buy because of everything that their grandparents told them. And they're a younger couple. Mm-hmm. He's Border Patrol. So, you know, young guy, good career, but he's been programmed with some of the wrong information. When you talk to elderly people that say, you know, you got to be careful, don't buy a home, where are most of those concerns coming from?
Gosh, I don't know. I've never had anybody tell me that. But if they say don't buy a home, I mean, anybody that's old, older like my parents, they saw everybody do well by owning homes.
And most of them lived through the Great Depression era, and they saw people when the economy tanked, they saw people losing their homes. And so, you know, I'm not saying his grandparents are bad, but I think they're giving him the wrong information because what came out of the conversation is they really believe that if the economy tanks, he's going to lose his house.
Wow.
Now, there's two different things. There's a due on demand and a due on sale clause. And a due on sale clause is, hey, you sold your parents' home. If there was a mortgage on it, you have to pay it back.
Right.
There's no way around that. But a due on demand clause is why so many people lost their homes back in the Great
Depression. There's no such thing.
There is no longer such thing.
But there hasn't been that for 80 years.
You're right. But there's still a portion of the population that equates bad economy, banks demanding their money back.
Most old people alive today have no familiarity with that whatsoever. They may have heard the stories.
Well, those stories still proliferate through some home buyers, and he's one of them. And it's like, wait, stop. There is no way you lose your home unless you stop making the payments.
Well, then you can definitely.
Any of us could lose our home if you stop making the payments. But in your case, you have a government job, you're Border Patrol. The likelihood is you're not going to lose your job unless you do something stupid.
Right.
So the likelihood is you're going to be one of those guys, even in a horrible economy, that can continue paying his house. That worry that a bank is going to say, you know what, I need my money back, can only happen if you miss not one, not two, not three, but you miss three payments. And then they file the notice of foreclosure that has to wait another 90 days. So technically, one, two, three more months, you could be 6 months down the road, and then you would lose your house. It can't be any faster than that. You Right. can't have the notice filed for 3 months. You can't have it foreclosed on until the 90 day after the filing. So even if that was the case, could you go back to mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, somebody and say, help me get my mortgage cured. Help me come up with the back due balance. And he goes, well, yeah, my grandparents could probably give me that money. Cool. So the likelihood is, A, you have a backstop. B, there's no such thing as a due on demand clause, but they're scaring the snots out of you for what reason, I don't know. So that is my lead-in story. I'm going to scare the snots out of you more after the break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK09040081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals, Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Money Talk. Derek Eggenberg, Academy Mortgage, Russ Clark in studio. And Russ, you're feverishly looking over at your computer screens. I kind of
I'm trying to understand what's going on. But, you know, when we got a jobs number that
job number, three times what was expected.
517,000 jobs. I'm like, yeah, nobody expected that.
Nope.
Did they put a zero in the wrong place?
No, the prediction was under 200. So I mean, it's 2.5 to 3 times
It's been under 200 for months.
So, you know, again, I'm cynical with some of the numbers, but the numbers are what the numbers are. They always revise the numbers later. You know, there's always here's the lead in, and then there's a revision a month later that doesn't matter anymore because it's a month past and you're worried about the next one.
But we got major companies laying off like crazy. You got tech companies laying off. They're all announcing.
Yeah.
You know, huge layoffs, and then we come up with a job number that had jumped. So I wonder where that is.
Here's the question, Russ. Do you know what the income of those jobs are?
I don't.
No. So you don't know what sector they are. So if you said, hey, you're an airline pilot that used to make $200,000 a year, and you got laid off 6 months ago, and now you are taking a job at, say, Dillard's or Mervyn's or Taco Bell, and it's a full-time job that's reported through ADP, does it count?
Of course.
It counts, but it may not be what you and I see as amazing growth. So, you know, again, the job numbers, at least it's people getting back on payroll, which is great. But you're right. There's lots of layoffs through multiple sectors in the industry. You know, you look at, we talked about the housing starts. Okay. Housing starts are lower. Yes or no?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. So housing starts are lower. And with interest rates that are in the sixes for most products, would you expect there to be a lot of refinances? No.
No. It's
okay. So in the mortgage space, would you expect to see lots of downsizing because companies don't have the volume to support their people?
Yeah.
Now, if you go do some Google searching, there's some major, major companies that have said they're going to get out of the space of actually originating mortgages. They'll buy and service them, but they ain't going to talk to a customer anymore. They're out. Now, what does that mean?
That's labor intensive.
That is labor intensive. But what does that mean for all of those laborers that produced the mortgages?
They're work at Dillard's.
So the mortgage space, you see lots of issues. You see lots of issues in retail. how many retail companies have seen sales slow, and so they're laying people off.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at some of these sectors, and you can see there's...
That's why I don't understand the numbers. I don't know where they come from.
I don't either, except every restaurant chain in America is hiring like mad. Walk down anywhere and find any movie theater, restaurant, you know, small department store. They're all hiring and they can't find enough people. So my concern or fear is that you are seeing people who are making, you know, high five-figure, even low six-figure jobs that got laid off in some of these spaces that are now moving to a job that counts on the jobs number, but the income isn't what they needed to support their family.
Well, here's the breakdown. Leisure and hospitality led it with 128,000 jobs. Education and health, 105,000. Business services, 82. Government, 74,000.
Oh,
good Lord.
Hey, I thought, don't we have a spending problem in the government?
They have
unlimited
funds.
We have a debt ceiling problem, right?
Retail's 30, construction's 25, manufacturing's 19.
Okay, so not what I would call great numbers for manufacturing and construction.
No.
So, you know, you look around and you say, okay, wait a minute, exactly what we talked about. Leisure and hospitality is
number one.
But we're not, and again, you say those words and it sounds really fancy, leisure and hospitality, right? Sounds like we should be going to a five-star ski resort somewhere.
No, it's Chuck E. Cheese and the Hotel 6.
Okay, so again, not necessarily the career high-minded paying job that some of these news outlets or even Wall Street claims these to be. And so now you are looking at your computer, and is the Dow up or down?
Down.
Okay.
I had it wrong a little while ago. It closed at 34,053. Right now it's at 34,044. So it's only down $10
So it's literally flat. And the mortgage bonds right now, we are down 22 basis points. So 22 basis points for everybody, a down day like that.
But with these numbers being released and it being a surprise, you thought they would have popped way up in the Dow or something. But
well, I don't think they've processed it yet. And I think there's a lot of probably
these guys process in a millisecond.
Yeah, but that's what I say. I think there's a lot of bean counters out there that are saying literally what you and I are is, wait a minute.
It doesn't make sense.
Is this a good number? Is it a bad number? Does it make sense? Isn't it? What is this really telling us? Because it's a data point, but it's not a research report. And sometimes we look at data points. Like, again, if you said, hey, I'm going to get an 8% interest rate on my mortgage, is that good or bad?
Bad.
No. Ho-ho. Wait a minute.
8%?
You're supposed to say, tell me more. What if you found an amazing deal on a home and you bought it for 50% of its market value?
Oh, well, 8% is a bargain.
Well, then 8% is a bargain.
Yeah.
What if you told me you got a 2% mortgage rate? Is that a good bargain?
It's a good rate.
Well, it's a good rate, but what if that was a private investor willing to offer you 2%? If you pay double the price of the home's value, they'll just carry it for you.
Nope.
Well, now, so wait a minute. You just told me 8 was bad and 2 was good, but now you said 8 could be great and 2 is awful.
Both those scenarios are outliers, but yeah.
But that's the problem, is we take a data point and we wrap all of our knowledge around that instead of saying, tell me more
about
the story.
Look more about it. Look into it. And I agree with that.
That 517,000 jobs, tell me more. It could be amazing. It could be the worst thing ever. And until we actually learn as individuals to digest the numbers, whatever it is, and say, tell me more. Okay. So let me give you, let's switch gears here for a second. What if I told you you were driving a car that got 50 miles to the gallon? Is that good?
That's good.
Wait a minute. What if that car cost $10 million to buy?
Uh-uh.
Well, now, wait a minute, but it's still 50 miles to the gallon.
Right.
But so you would go buy that car right now today, right?
No.
Why not?
Because I could buy a car that gets 5 miles a gallon and be cheaper.
But that's the problem, is we look, you just kind of smiled and said, man, that's a good data point. I'll go get that car that gets 50 miles
to
the gallon.
Data point, yeah.
Remember the old Honda Insight?
Yeah.
Okay, now, you're in the automotive industry.
Mm-hmm.
Any major issues with a Honda Insight?
Actually, I knew a guy locally that had one. He loved it, but he put in 3 batteries.
No, not the... Not that one. I'm talking about the one that there was a petrol-powered car that used to get like 60 miles to the gallon. They were selling those back in the, I want to say, early to late 90s.
I'm thinking of something else. Totally different. I don't remember that one.
Data point, you know, could you find that used car? I don't know if you can find them anymore. You might tell me. But could you find a used car like that could get 40, 50 miles to the gallon in a Econobox style car?
Yeah.
Okay. That car might be a good purchase. That $5 million car that gets 50 miles to the gallon may not be a bad purchase.
I didn't know what a 22 Honda Insight starts at $25,000.
Then maybe I could be using the wrong name for the car, but there was
it gets 55 miles a gallon, city.
Okay. Now go back and find old school one of those.
An older one?
Yeah. Find used. Come on. Autotrader.com.
Like a 2000?
I don't know. But as you're looking at that, this is what I hope everybody looks at. And what I appreciate about everybody within Academy is we sit down and we want to get people out of the emotionalness and talk about the tactical numbers and the decision. Look, it doesn't matter what you can qualify for. You know, and I still get that question every time because everybody wants to know, hey, how much do I qualify for? I don't care. It doesn't matter what you can qualify for. It matters what you think you can afford and what your budget says you should buy.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to have that discussion because, you know, just because your buddy who works the same job thinks he can qualify for $400,000, I'd really like to think that you stay at, let's say, 300 because I don't want you eating Top Ramen and Hormel chili 3 meals a day and making sure that your kids are putting water on their cereal. That just doesn't work for me.
Right.
You know, let's make sure that it is the right data point that we're looking at. So, borrower, you tell me what you're comfortable with a budget. Oh, you don't have a budget. Cool. Let's sit down and write out a budget so you actually know what you think you should be affording, not what you qualify for.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You've got to be able to make the payments.
What'd you find?
I did find the old ones, and they hold on to insides. I always thought they were all electric.
No, see.
Because it looks just like an electric.
Wait. Are you saying this mortgage guy is teaching the automotive guy something about cars?
It could be.
I'm smiling ear to ear right now. I kind of like this. Okay.
Yeah, but they look like quite the deal. 55 miles a gallon for, you know, you could buy a car for $5,000-$6,000.
That data point, though, we're so worried about, you know, I'm sorry, good, bad, indifferent. A electric vehicle that you would want to drive to Phoenix from here, what do you think that costs?
$60,000 for a Model 3 from Tesla.
Okay, so $60,000 for a small car, right?
4-passenger.
Okay, so let's say you took that same 4-passenger, would that Honda Insight be that same size car from what you're looking at?
Close,
on the picture?
Yeah, might be.
Okay, so you could...
$25,000 for one that gets 55 miles a gallon.
So you might spend half, and again,
half as much on that, but I tell you, in the first 10 years, it may be maybe forever, the Insight would be a better value.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So the data point is, and I love the Tesla cars. I like the idea of some of this stuff. And at the same time, you know what? The person who could buy that car might actually save way more in the long run, and they may not be bragging about the car. And here's what I hope people do is, it's not about bragging about what you have. It's maybe kind of tapping on your wallet and smiling inside going, okay, I made a good financial decision. Tactically, I made the right financial decision for my family. And that's where going back to housing and mortgage rates and whether you buy or not. Look, if you're living in an apartment complex right now, or your son or daughter is, your nephew or your niece, is now a good time to buy? Russ Clark.
Is it the right time to buy?
Is it a good time to buy?
It's always a good time if you need a house to live. I mean, you got to live somewhere.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, in 10 years, we're going to look back and go, wow, I wish I would have. In 40 years, our kids and grandkids are going to look back and go, hey, Grandpa, why didn't you? So your little baby girl that runs around sometimes sleeps here in the studio, she's going to go, hey, Grandpa, why didn't you buy like 10 houses back in 2023?
Because Grandpa's homeless.
Oh, great.
You need to take a break.
Hey, this is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU, 8:34 in the morning. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Hey, what'd you do last weekend? Saturday, what'd you do?
Well, I, what did I do?
Well, you didn't help in the marathon.
No. I was busy.
You went to Phoenix for the...
I went to Phoenix Thursday.
Okay.
And what did I go back to Phoenix for? I did.
Didn't you have votes?
Yeah, I did. That's okay. Right. That's what I did.
Do I have to remember everything for you around this joint?
Yeah, you did. Last Saturday, I had to go to for the Republican Party. Yep. I was a delegate.
So you were doing some work. Yeah. We were doing some work. So you had the Territorial Marathon that went from Cocopah Casino.
Did you have a good turnout?
Yeah. You know what? I think it was a really good turnout. And yeah, I was out on Aid Station 8. So that's just past the half marathon turnaround. So I only ended up seeing about 40 marathoners that did the full, but turnout was good. Weather was really brisk at start. And what's so funny is, you know, the aid station workers are dressed in heavy coats and gloves and beanies. And you see these guys and gals coming by running in shorts and t-shirts,
yeah,
dripping in sweat.
You're generated heat.
I know. And you think, man, I am freezing my buttocks off.
Get out and run.
No. But it's so interesting when you stop and talk to some of the guys and gals at the finish line after they, I mean, once I catch their breath.
Yeah.
But that is, I want to say both good and bad. It's kind of a boring course because you're running straight and there's not a lot to look at other than natural beauty. I mean, the farm fields and the you know, the horizon. But it's not the rock and roll marathon like in San Diego. It's not a big party. It's not stop at every aid station and do a shot. But it is... It is a Boston qualifier.
Right.
And if you saw the lead time of what the male and female winner, I mean, literally right at the 3 hour mark.
Wow.
3 hours to run 26.2 miles.
Wow.
That you're averaging 7 minute miles.
Yeah.
Running for 3 hours and think
I couldn't do 1 mile at 7 minutes.
You know what? I want to chase you and see if you can run that fast.
No, I used to be able to years ago for a mile,
yeah,
not for 30.
Kudos though to the people that it's, you know, you look at some of the events and some events are huge, you know, tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
This is I don't want to say simple because it's a big event to put on, but you know, I think the runners really appreciate that. The course is laid out well. It's certified as a Boston qualifier, that the aid stations are there every basically mile.
And some of these people that ran will be in the Boston Marathon or other marathons. They qualify.
Well, there's qualifications. And so the beauty is what I know they do is the evening before, There's a company out of Phoenix that is the one that certifies the bibs, and so they set up the timers throughout the course, and each of your bib has whatever that signal in, almost like a chip or something. But literally, they're tracked through the course, and you can see their pace on the website. And I hope that you see a Boston qualifier go win the Boston Marathon and say, "Hey, I qualified at Yuma, Arizona." Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, yeah, so, and it's possible.
It is possible. So, you know, again, what some of these events, and I want to talk about that because in 2 short weeks, you have the Bull of the Desert. Now,
right.
Russ, what's the Bull of the Desert?
That's a heavy weightlifting and strongman.
Strongman challenge.
Yeah.
And that also is a certified nationally ranked event. So, you know, you look at some of these events that Yuma is starting to put on. Are you kidding me that you could qualify for the Boston Marathon by running the marathon here in what is deemed as the flattest course in the U.S.? You know, there's that one major climb right at the end that you got to climb the hill out of Summerton back up on top of the mesa to the casino. But other than that, it's literally straight flat. Here's a strongman competition, beautiful weather outside, guys and gals coming from all over the Western U.S. to compete. And it's also a sanctioned event for the USA Strongman.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
I didn't even know it was sanctioned.
Oh, come on. We got to get you involved.
I've never got involved in that one. I never have.
Well, for anybody who wants to see Russ Clark bench pressing, come on out in 2 weeks. I think we would pay to see that.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to be any you know, weights that are going to make any records.
No, but remember the old Warner Brothers cartoons when something happens and the eyeballs pop out?
Yeah.
I think yours might be popping out like Sylvester the cat or something like that.
Well, we shall see.
But 2 weeks, you've got the strongman, and where is it?
It's at the convention center.
Yep, Desert Sun Stadium, and gates are open to the public. I believe there's a small fee to come in and watch. But this is one of those events, again, not unlike some of the others like the Balloon Festival. You can get in, and you're right around the competitors. You know, there's a safe distance, don't get me wrong. But you're on the field, feeling the energy, watching these guys and gals do their thing. And that's so different than a lot of events that you see it way down on the floor in a huge arena that you can't actually be part of the energy seeing what's going on. And most of the competitors feed off it. They want to hear you yelling and screaming and pumping them up a little bit. Yeah. So
starts at 9:00.
So what time are you going to be there?
February 19th. I'll have to check and sit my calendar.
You might be busy. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. That's on a Sunday.
No, it is not on a Sunday. It's on a Saturday.
It says February 19th. Oh, 22. I'm sorry. I was looking at last year's.
Come on. So, you know, again, for everybody who's listening, kind of a cool event, and it's a short event. Come on out, and it gates open. It's 3, 4, 5 hours. You want to stand there. There's going to be food. There's going to be beverages. You can go out and just walk around and just enjoy a beautiful day. The weather's supposed to be great, but something else to do in Yuma, Arizona that most people don't realize, this is a big deal. This is a nationally sanctioned event, and you can find this on Iron Podium. So if you Google search Iron Podium, you can see competitors nationwide doing this all over the country. And Yuma, Arizona has the Bull of the Desert strongman competition. So, you know, kudos to the people that start to create these things to say, you know what, why not put something like this here in Yuma? You know, when you say, hey, let's have a marathon, let's have a Boston qualifier. Why not do it here in Yuma? The weather is amazing. You know, the setup is something that we can do. Here's another one, 2 weeks, Bull of the Desert, strongman competition.
Yeah, it's going to be on the 18th.
Thank you.
There
which
you
is
go.
A Saturday.
Yes, it is.
And gates open still at 9:00.
9:00. I finally found it, but it kept popping up the ones from last year and the year before.
Well,
they're still out there.
Clear the history on your browser and start browsing stuff from this year, for crying out loud. Come on.
It says it's family fun.
It is. And, you know, it's an easy thing. You're walking through the field. You can be in and amongst the competitors, grab something to drink. There's going to be food out there. It's just a good time. It, you know, instead of going out to the park and just walking around, come out to the stadium and enjoy the spectacle and realize that some of these guys and gals are unbelievably strong. And there's a difference between, you know, I didn't understand what a strongman competition was you know, for a long time. You know, I'm used to, you see Arnold Schwarzenegger bodybuilding, and it's, you know, it's ripped, and it's all about the pose. No, no. These guys and gals, they're stacked and built, and they're built for lifting and carrying.
Yeah, they'll pick up your car.
And there's been those, you know, the pick up the back end of a car.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, this can't be that hard. I don't want to try that again.
No.
And the Conan,
you'll break something.
Oh,
and it won't be on the car.
It's not on the car, and it's not on the lifting apparatus. No, but you know, the one that the Conan's wheel, and for everybody, think of if there's a center point and there's a radius arm that goes out, kind of like you used to draw a concentric circle with like a compass, if you will. Mm-hmm. These guys lift something up with their two arm, you know, you're cupping it to your chest, lifting, and then you got to walk in a circle carrying this. How many times can you walk around this circle? So you're not only lifting, but you're walking, but you have to do straight left hand.
I'm looking at a video of it. Now, you're going to be competing?
No. No, I don't think I'm built for that.
Okay.
And I worked an aid station at the marathon because I'm not exactly built for speed and running either.
Right.
You know, and it was so funny that all three of my boys said same thing. Are you going to run, Dad? I'm like, no, this is not like the movie
Cars.
Are
they really asking you?
Oh. Huh? Oh. Like, no, dude, you can run. All three of you guys can run. I will even pay that entrance fee. But unlike the movie Cars, I am not built for speed. Sorry. So, you know, some cool things coming up here in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then, Russ, I got to talk what happens in exactly 1 month. On a weekend.
Midnight to Oasis.
Oh, Midnight at the Oasis.
I won't even be here, I don't think.
Oh, come on. Okay, Midnight at the Oasis.
I'm going to be in D.C. for CPAC.
Okay, well, are you kidding me?
No.
Come on.
No, that's CPAC in Washington, D.C. and I'm going to be.
That same date, huh?
It is. I'll be up there the whole week broadcasting from CPAC.
Well, you can patch in and I can talk to you from
you can tell me about
from
it.
Mato.
Oh, and I hate messing Mato. Mato's is my favorite, without question.
One month from today,
you got to schedule it on a different day.
Concert lineup is set. Again, registration I think is almost full. One of the things I'm kind of looking forward to. One of the only negatives I've ever heard, and you know, let's talk about the goods and the bads. Great concert, great event, but you hear some people say, hey, it's kind of the same cars year over year.
Some of them are.
Well, some of them are. However, one thing that was changed last year, the 1972 cutoff, was now changed to 1979.
Yeah, and that was a big change. And it hadn't changed ever.
Ever. So if you think it's 30 years worth of a car show, but the same 1972 cutoff date, it's been a long time since it hasn't been adjusted.
And I had asked about that over the years, and the whole thing was, well, they started with more computerization. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter to
me. seven years more worth of possible entrants means that it was kind of that California gold rush. There's a lot of new people putting in applications. So I would expect to see a lot of new and different stuff
out there.
I have
an old car, but nothing that old. You do, though.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do. And you've entered your cars.
They'll be in there. Okay. And the coolest thing for me is, you know, I don't have any of the trailer queens. I don't. I love my cars, but I let my kids drive them. And so last year, my kids are the ones that drove them to the event and put them there. And they're going to do the same thing this year. And, you know, you guys come and go as you please. Put them on the field. Do whatever you're going to do because Dad's got to work. Sorry. Yeah. I'll be out there working for 4 days straight.
I'll be curious how many 72 to 79s.
73 to 79, yeah, because we stopped at 72.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're going to see there. I know there's quite a few that have been registered. There's some of the 76, 77 pickup trucks. There's some of the 75. I've seen a 75 and a 77 Camaro registered.
Okay.
You know, some cool stuff that you and I would go, wow, that's a nostalgic old car. But up until last year.
Yeah, but we always looked at it like a 68 Camaro the attraction.
It was.
Not the 78.
But, you know, you start looking at a 71 or a 72 Camaro, those are just as cool.
Yeah.
You know, or some of the square body pickup trucks or, you know.
Oh, there are a lot of people collecting those.
A lot of people collecting those. What about, say, a 73 Jaguar or a 73 Datsun 240Z. I mean, some cool classic sports cars that never made it into the shows previously. That's kind of what I'm excited to see, is what new stuff comes out, A, locally, and B, I think it's probably going to take a year for the regional entrants to realize they can bring some other stuff, you know, because the people who left last year with it stopping at 72, I don't know that they'll know that the registration will go all the way up to 79 now. And for everybody who's listening, it's super cool watching Russ punch through his phone trying to look at all this stuff.
I'm bringing up, like, it's 1978 sports cars, and some of them are not that attractive.
No. They're not. And so, you know, clearly there's some good stuff, and there's some...
I don't think it was a good year for Detroit.
Well, no.
But there's some in there.
But there's some really cool. I go back to, let's say, a 240Z. Datsun 240Z, yeah. Cool car. How about a Jaguar XKE? Beautiful cars. You know, and that's kind of what I'm looking forward to seeing. And, you know, even some of the Panteras that you see out there. There's some really cool Panteras, but there were some Panteras after 72, were there not?
I don't know. I don't know when they cut those off.
Yeah. So it's super cool. And here's what I love about Yuma. We get to do things outside for the next few months, whether it was the balloon festival previously, whether it's the tower lighting, whether it's the marathon. Now we're coming up on the strongman and, most importantly, midnight at the Oasis. And if there's one thing, since I'm the mortgage guy and I'm the guy who gets to talk about budgets, please, dear heavens, go buy the weekend passport for midnight at the Oasis. Don't try to get cheap and do, hey, let me get a day pass. And, oh, wow, I really want to see the concert. Let's buy the concert ticket. You know, get the week-long pass, because it gets you into the daytime events. It gets you into the evening concerts way cheaper. And you're not going to find a weekend's worth of value for what that pass is. Oh. So, go ahead.
You're going to take a break?
All right.
I mean, you're way late. But
I don't. Okay. Well, it's only because the board operator isn't flagging me down.
I was looking at the cars while you were mentioning it. I was looking
all
at
right,
some.
All right, well, since...
And some of the things they listed as the best-looking cars of 78, I'm like, yuck.
Well, since I have to take a break and our board operator's not doing his job, we'll take a quick break. Be right back. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before.
All right, Yuma Money Talk, AM560 KBLU again, 8:52 on a gorgeous Friday morning. And you can see Russ is still Googling cars from 73 to 79, talking about Midnight at the Oasis.
Right.
And about every fourth one, he goes, yuck.
Yeah. not my favorite years of cars, actually.
No, but there's some really cool ones in there. And again, for the people who say, yeah, hey, it's always the same cars, it's been a California gold rush of people trying to get the spots for Mado. So I think you're going to see a lot of, you'll see some of the same stuff. Don't get me wrong. Some of the car clubs here in Yuma that take the spots and they bring their cars, absolutely amazing. And you're going to also see some new stuff out there. And, you know, you were just talking about some of the Porsches that were 73, 74, 75. There you go.
78 Porsche right there. And that's beautiful. I don't own it.
Well, you could for the low, low price.
And it was always a want for me. I always liked the 911s. Mm-hmm. And I've never owned one. And now I don't have that same desire, but I still appreciate them.
Yeah, you would be uncomfortable getting way down into that car.
Nope,
you may never
not.
Get back would, out of it again.
I would drive the hell out of it. If I had to roll out, I'd roll out.
So whether it's those or some of the other wing, you know, cars, let's say the Smokey and the Bandit-esque Trans Am. And I know that,
yeah,
that one's beyond
the T-tops and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But, you know, there's some cool classic cars that you and I would go, oh, okay, we can reminisce about those. And truly, what is a classic car show supposed to be? It's family and it's grandparents or parents reminiscing about kids, you know, the memories they have with their kids, and it's a family event. So throwing in some more cars that, again, if everybody could see, Russ, your face right now, you're smiling. What'd you just find?
1978 Vega hatchback.
Not what you...
Not a collectible. I don't even know if you could find one.
Oh, I'm sure you could find one.
They're probably all crushed by now, aren't they?
Would you like one?
No.
Okay, toss up a Vega or the 911. Which is it for
911.
You? 911. All right, well.
We're going to do that.
So again, Midnight at the Oasis coming up in just 4 short weeks. Strongman competition in just 2 short weeks. Lots of stuff to do. And at the same time, you know, gorgeous weather. Get out and just enjoy Yuma and realize that we're so blessed that you have half the nation with winter warnings again, you know, freeze warnings and lots of other issues.
Right.
We have green grass, and you're going to probably put shorts on and a t-shirt and go riding around on your bike with your cousin. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So great time to be out there. And it's a great time to also say, you know what? I'm going to put 30 minutes, maybe an hour into my own finances. So while I could spend the next 96 hours, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, doing stuff fun on the weekend, let's take an hour. And let's take an hour to go through and do a budget. And let's go find a way to save some money, do things that are less expensive, and enjoy ourselves. So you go back to the Mado passports. Is it less expensive to buy the all weekend long passport?
It's the only way you should go.
Cool. Go get a passport and enjoy that with your family. You don't have to go out of town. You don't have to go out to a ball game or the beach and all this other stuff. Stay right here in town. Save the fuel. Go enjoy what the community is going to put together.
Look, I found a 1973 Chevy Vega for sale.
Yeah?
All stock, $27,000.
Wow.
I think brand new, they were, what, like $3,000 or $2,000?
That's even the one where it's got kind of the wagon looking. That's not even the hatchback.
Yeah, the wagon. That was kind of rare. But I don't care. It's rare because nobody bought them.
There you go. You could trade your RV for that and just throw a mattress in the back, Russ.
That ain't going to happen.
Come on.
That's not going to happen.
Oh.
And I really like classic cars. I appreciate them. I do. And I love. That's why I love going to shows and seeing them. And I'm glad you own them.
Yeah. Well played. As you sit down and do your budget, there's one battle cry that I have for everybody that I want to spend a couple minutes just talking about. Are you saving 10% of your income?
No.
Could you save 20% of your income?
Could I?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay. So everybody has the ability. It's just pretend you're on a cash base, which we all are. Spend a little less than you're making somehow, some way, skinny things up. And whether it's looking at apps on your phone, whether it's looking at things that you buy on your TV, whether it's going out to the store, just spend a little less and start investing in savings somehow. And I'm not saying put it in a safety deposit box. I'm not saying drop it into a savings account that makes no money. I do want you to have 6 months worth of liquid savings. I do want you to have the what if,
of course,
your car transmission breaks, your air conditioner goes out. Do you have the wherewithal to cover the what ifs?
I do.
And then let's work on figure 10% first. Pay yourself 10% first, then pay all your bills. Once you start saving that, every time you get a raise, if you're already saving some money, could you basically just say, I'm going to split the raise in half. I'm going to keep half to spend and I'm going to dump the other half of my raise that's free money, dump that into my savings and start supercharging that. If you did that for 30, 40 years, would you not have a huge amount of money?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, of course. And it grows. I mean, it's compound interest.
Why don't more people work on saving and protecting themselves first?
Because they got to get Starbucks.
Yeah.
I mean, people are consumers. I mean, we're just consumers big time. And and I've worked with so many people for so many years that, you know, if they had money in the bank, they're going to spend it.
And that's I think, the takeaway is the, you know, a rising tide floats all boats.
And you're out of time, man.
We are out of time. Yeah. So, well, then let's end. So if you have served, are serving, or somebody in your family has served, we appreciate your service, and we couldn't do these shows without you. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.